From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Friday edition, some more drama in the lame duck session of Congress as the GOP House leadership postponed a vote this morning on a measure focused on fixes and modifications to the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Congressman Mark Walker of North Carolina, the chairman of the Republican Study Committee in the 215th Congress, will be here in a moment with an update. And just in time for Christmas, a Christmas gift to conservatives, Starnes Country. Our good friend Todd Starnes is here to talk about his new television program on Fox Nation. Also, once a safe haven for free thought, college and university campuses now only provide haven to conforming thought to leftist ideas. A recent study was published revealing that the majority of students are either afraid to share what they believe or even intimidated to hear what others believe to be as true. Sarah Perry, Director of Partnerships at the Family Research Council Action, we'll be here on that story a little later. And yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus, or at least a St. Nicholas. Former Secretary of the Department of Education and New York Times bestselling author Dr. Bill Bennett is here with his new book, The True St. Nicholas, Why He Matters to Christmas. That's coming up on this edition of Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com, if you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. All right. A year ago, in December 2017, the House and the Senate teamed up to pass what has been probably one of the more significant pieces of legislation that has moved through in the first 2 years of the Trump administration. It was the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And there was a number of aspects in that. And so they're coming back to fix some of those issues. One of the issues, unintended, but it had a negative effect upon churches and nonprofits. And there have been those in the Congress that have been working diligently over the last 12 months to make sure that that gets fixed. And here in the final 11th hour, final days of the 215th Congress, it looks like that's about to be accomplished. With us now is Congressman Mark Walker. He is the chairman of the Republican Study Committee, and he has been battling on behalf of churches and charities to make sure that they weren't caught up in this tax change. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Glad to be with you.
I know you've been working very diligently to address this issue that had to do with parking and other aspects that was unintentionally caught up from nonprofits in this tax reform, which literally was going to cost in the billions to these nonprofits. It looks like that's now been resolved. Explain that to our listeners.
Absolutely. When we found out about this earlier this summer, I guess is when we started to unwind some of this, we began to write some legislation that would undo it. At my background, spent 5 or 6 years in business and finance, but the biggest part of my background, I was a pastor at a couple larger churches, and one of those actually utilizes the parking lots and parking spaces. So the other part of this that I was concerned about, Tony, is the tax exempt of the church as a whole, as well as other nonprofits. Was this going to be the first step in a slippery slope of going after our churches, which many of our colleagues on the left would like to do so? So what our particular piece of legislation is what we call LIFT, the LIFT for Charities Act. What it does, is real quick, is it eliminates the measure that would have required charities, churches, and traditionally tax-exempt organizations to pay federal taxes on any employer benefits, parking spots, meals, transportation, et cetera. So we did reach an agreement with the Chairman Brady, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday night this week. Thought we'd vote on it today, but we've got some guys out of town. We're looking to push it back next week, but hopefully this will be resolved before the end of the year where our nonprofits and churches do not get dinged unnecessarily here.
And I want to go back to that first point you made, because I think this is quite significant, because some people say, well, what's the big deal about parking and that sort of thing? It is the principle as much as it is a very tangible dollar amount. But what would be required for the first time is that you would have churches having to file tax returns just to deal with this one provision.
Exactly, and it's churches, it's Salvation Army, it's rescue missions. It's in my state, it would be the Baptist. You go down the line here. This would have put some people who operate on razor thin margins in a very bad situation. Point one, point two, is anytime you begin to open up the door for the churches, to your point, is having to go into this tax realm. Where would that stop? And that's something that I think for a lot of churches and other people, that's a line in the sand.
Right, and because then you know it's something else. Because once we've pierced that veil. And we have brought these nonprofits to the point of where they're filing these tax returns to pay the taxes on this particular aspect. Then we can start cherry picking on other issues. And before you know it, these churches, which historically have been hands-off when it comes to the government taxing them, all of a sudden are treated like everybody else when it comes to businesses and profit.
It's the last bastion, Tony. Exactly. It's the last bastion where government doesn't have complete control. And I've been 4 years out now in D.C., from education to healthcare, you name it, the tendency is for the federal government to get their hands on something where they're calling the shots. And any time that we can block this, that's part of my duty. And we were happy to get this accomplished, and we'll be much happier when it gets to the Senate and signed into law by the president.
Now, one of the other tax issues that pertains to churches that has been discussed quite significantly, the House has addressed it. The Senate has not. The president, by executive order, has issued limited restrictions to the IRS, and that has to do with the Johnson Amendment, which was the 1954 Act tax change to the tax code, which brought all nonprofits, including churches, really under the gun of the IRS, saying that they cannot speak to political issues, politics, or they could lose their tax exemption. Any chance we're going to see movement on that?
I was part of a conversation where my good friend Jody Heiss gave an incredible, vetted, passionate speech of why that's important. What we're being told now is if we include this, at least that's the word Jody and I are getting, is the Senate will not pick up the tax reform as a whole. And so what we're doing at this point, I know Jody is working with James Langford and a couple other ones that we could get some support over on the Senate side to say, yes, we would consider doing it. So when you're told something like that, you never know for sure if it's 100% accurate or if it's just in the ballpark. So that we're in the process. I know Jody Heiss is working very hard. I'm working with him because that is crucial. And let me add one other thing on there, Tony. There's a third piece of this, something that's come out of our office that we've not been able to get done called the Universal Charitable Giving Act. When the tax reform, and it's a great law overall, but one of the other hiccups in this is that it did not allow people to deduct their charitable giving if they did not file separately. And for when you get a double allowance, it cut down a great deal of people who no longer itemize.
Right.
What
right.
we're trying to do is make sure those people still have some deduction on that where the churches and the nonprofits do not get hit, or that person doesn't have a chance to deduct it. That's, so we're working on that. That the Universal Charitable Giving Act and the Johnson Amendment, neither one have been guaranteed at this point, but it is something that we're working on.
And, of course, the clock is ticking, Congressman, because come the end of this month, end of December, we're still got one day left here, when we go into the 216th Congress, what we have then is a Democratic-controlled Congress. Nancy Pelosi will have the gavel, and the likelihood of any of these measures that are moving forward from a positive conservative perspective, I mean, the likelihood of something like that advancing is almost zero.
Yes, if there's a less than zero category, that it would be in that because we she's coming after taxes as a whole, much less not allowing anybody from the church world, and from what I've seen my 4 years, to be able to have any kind of opportunity to move forward. But, yeah, there's no question about it. And I wasn't ever here or served during the minority under her reign, but from the people that I've talked to, probably about the 30% on Republicans who were at some point here, it gets pretty rough from what I understand.
Well, let's talk about that for just a moment. Folks, you're listening to Washington Watch Friday Edition. Russ Jones usually sits in for me on Friday, but Russ is off, and so I'm filling in for myself here on this Friday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. My guest, Congressman Mark Walker, he is currently the chairman of the Republican Study Committee, also the vice chairman of the Congressional Prayer Caucus, but in the 216th Congress, he is going to be the conference vice chair for the Republicans, who will then be in the minority, which is actually one of the top leadership positions in the GOP and the leadership. Congressman, things are going to become much different as you return in January in the minority. How are you preparing for that?
Well, I think what we're doing right now is making sure that we have a message ready to go where there's no ambiguity. In other words, what are the things that we've got to communicate? One of the faults I have with the Republican Party is the fact that we do not message well. We end up being more reactive instead of proactive, allowing the Democrats to many times establish the narrative. So where we've got a message, whether it's strong defense, the issues of pro-life, these other areas, we've got to be out clearly communicating, whether it's member to member, whether it's to the national media. We've got to get out there and do a message of that, because we know, in fact, just today, and I haven't even read the text, the Democrats are putting their first order of business is getting Trump's tax returns. So they've already postured themselves from committees, from Maxine Waters to Jerry Nadler, that they're going to be all about going after Trump, Trump, Trump. Not doing the people's business, but making the history rank. So we've got to do a better job of not only establishing the narrative, but pushing back in these areas.
Congressman, before we let you go, as I mentioned, you are the vice chair of the Prayer Caucus. You mentioned you've spent a large portion of your adult life in the ministry as a pastor. You and I have spent a good amount of time together, and I know your heart and where you're focused. As you look into 2019 and the challenges that are going to be there, how can our listeners be praying for you and your fellow Christian members and beyond? But we've got a lot of believers in Congress. How can we be praying?
Well, I think we need, first of all, prayer for guidance. In the world of the political arena, you are correct. I am meeting more and more people that God has really created a path here, people that may not have the typical lifelong political background. Guidance for these believers as we gather to pray every Monday night fly-in, that's the number one thing we pray about. And then number two, and I don't mean this to be demeaning, I think protection.
Yeah.
If the members could tell you all the different things that they're getting either in the mail, over the phone, the kind of threats and the kind of, I think protection for not only the members but also the families that are back in the district. Those two things come to my mind immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. I can relate to that. Congressman Mark Walker, as always, great to have you on the program. I'm sure I probably will see you before then, but if not, have a very Merry Christmas.
Same to you, Tony. Thank you so much.
All right, Congressman Mark Walker of North Carolina. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more. Okay, coming up next, our good friend, Fox News commentator and radio host, Todd Starnes is here to announce his gift to conservatives, a new program, Starnes Country. He's here to tell us all about it when we return. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come. Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing.
Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, known as SOCE, claiming that they are fraudulent, ineffective, and harmful. But are they? LGBT activists claim that sexual orientation is immutable and can't be changed by therapy or counseling. They also claim that people who attempt to change their sexual orientation end up more depressed and suicidal. As it turns out, studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are in fact very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. For a thorough analysis of all the major studies done on the effectiveness of SOCE, visit frc.org/SOCE. Again, that's frc.org/SOCE.
Are you ready to take a stand? Now you can with FRC's new Stand Firm mobile app, which allows you to stay engaged and informed on the most important issues facing our country. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on issues of faith, family, and freedom with just a tap of the screen. Listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins, and much more. Join Christians across America as we stand firm together. Visit frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. So glad to have you with us on this Friday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Okay, just in time for Christmas, something you can stick in your digital stocking. Yeah, I think so. Starnes Country, a gift to conservatives all across the nation. Our good friend, Todd Starnes at FoxNews.com, is launching a new television program on Fox Nation, and he joins us now to talk about it. Todd, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Always great to hang out with you.
Well, congratulations on the new television show. Tell us about it.
Well, thank you. I'm really excited about this. And folks who listen to my commentaries on the radio, they listen to our talk show, they're gonna get a pretty good idea of what we do, because our TV show is really what we do on the radio, which is talk about all of those important issues to the conservative community and to the faith community. And we tell people it really is television for the gun-toting, Bible-clinging, flag-waving deplorables in America.
All right, what time of day is it on, and how can people get it?
Well, folks can go to FoxNation.com, and they'll be able to sign up for a subscription, and you'll be able to watch it on your television. It's on Apple TV. It's on Google Chrome. And, of course, you'll be able to on your smartphone devices as well. We film live every day at 4:30 Eastern, and then you're able to watch it on demand immediately after that. So if you're at work or if you're in the car driving at that time, you can just go to your Apple TV and you can watch all of the episodes.
Now you focus a lot on your radio program, and because I've been on your program a number of times, and in your writing and on FoxNews.com. A lot on the – in your books as well, the focus on the attack on religious freedom in this country and how Americans are standing up. Will that be included in Starnes Country as well?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, when the executives were meeting with me early on in the process, the question was asked, you know, well, what does the show need to look like? And their response was, let Starnes be Starnes. And the idea there, Tony, is that we're going to talk about those very important culture issues. And unfortunately, even in the conservative media these days, there has not been a lot of coverage on those religious liberty issues. They would Right. call them hot button issues. And we're going to talk about those in depth on the television program. And we're going to give a platform to people like yourself, people like, for example, Jerry Falwell Jr. is going to be on the show this week. We have Mark Hancock, the CEO of Trail Life USA. He's going to be on the show today talking about some of the big stories regarding Trail Life USA.
Now, you have something kind of special. You're going to have a weekly Most Valuable Patriot. Tell us a little bit about that. What type of people we might expect to be seen there?
Yeah, we have our team here. We have some incredible staffers that are looking all over the country for people or groups of people that are doing things in their community to make America great again. And it might be a church group that's doing something to help folks in their community. It might be a young person who's going the extra mile to do something. So we're looking for those people, and we're encouraging folks to send us their nominations, their recommendations on ToddStarnes.com.
So where'd that idea come from?
That came from one of our executives here. They said, you know, it might be fun to do some segments, and that was one of the segments that the team here came up with. We're also doing a weekly segment called Ask Todd, hashtag Ask Todd. And if you go on Twitter or Facebook and use that hashtag and post your question, I may answer that question on the television show, even if it's horrible.
So it'd be like a hashtag Ask Todd his favorite beverage. I could guess. I could tell you what it is. It's sweet tea.
Yeah, somebody said hashtag Ask Todd. What, you know, is beef really barbecue? I will answer that question.
Todd, before we run out of time, you also have coming up just around the corner a Christmas special. Tell us about it.
Yes. Well, this is going to be a joint venture, so it'll be broadcast on Starnes Country. We're calling it a Starnes Country Christmas, and you'll be able to watch that on Fox Nation. We're also going to be broadcasting it on hundreds of radio stations around the country. We're filming it this weekend in Dallas, so if you're in Dallas, we'd love for you to come out and join us. Admission is free. First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas. The choir and orchestra will be performing. Dr. Jeffers is going to read the Christmas story. We have the Annie Moses Band who is going to be performing. And our good friend Dr. Mark Siegel, who's our Fox medical correspondent, he's going to be on our trivia panel with us.
So that is this weekend. When this weekend?
Yeah. It's 5 o'clock Sunday, 5 p.m. Sunday, that's Central Time, 5 Central Time, at the First Baptist Church in Dallas, and the admission is free, so just bring the family, wear a Christmas sweater, and be a part of the studio audience.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Will there be Christmas cookies and sweet tea following?
You know, I'm going to have to check with Dr. Jeffers about that, but he's a pretty healthy guy, so I'm not sure he imbibes in the sweet thing.
He may
do the unsweet.
We need to work on him. Todd Starnes, as always, great to have you on the program, and congratulations on the new television program, Starnes Country. Looking forward to joining you on that. In fact, next week I'll be with you.
That's right. I saw your name on the list, and I said, woohoo.
And you're checking it twice. All right.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, Todd Starnes, the new television program, Starnes Country. Go to foxnation.com. You can find out how you can get a subscription to it, but I can guarantee you it's going to help balance out the media by giving conservative viewpoints on so many of the things that we care about. So I am elated that Todd has gotten this television program. So, again, go to foxnation.com and find out more. Or go to tonyperkins.com and follow the links over. That's pretty easy, too. Okay, still to come, more Washington Watch. We're going to be talking later in the program with Dr. Bill Bennett about St. Nicholas. Yes, he is real. He was a real person. Why does it matter to Christmas? We're going to talk with Dr. Bill Bennett about that. Also, free speech on university campuses seems to no longer be free. Sarah Perry, Director of Partnerships at the Family Research Council Action, joins me when we return. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come. Tony Perkins here, President of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference? Now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together and advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just a tap of the screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins or read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Friday afternoon. The website, tonyperkins.com. You know, once a safe haven for free thought was college and university campuses. Now they only provide haven to those conforming to leftist ideas. Now, a recent survey, now get this, a recent survey by Yale University was published revealing that a majority of students feel intimidated sharing their ideas, opinions, or beliefs when they're different from their professors. Now, so this isn't some kind of wacko conservative entity. This is Yale's William F. Buckley Jr. program in their communications and media department. Joining me now to talk about this is Sarah Perry. She's the director of partnerships here at the Family Research Council. Sarah, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. This doesn't tell us anything we didn't already know, but the source that it's coming from is pretty revealing.
It does tell us that the numbers don't lie. We can't explain this away with conservative bias. This is Yale University's program. They recommended the study of bias on campus and free speech on campus, understanding that this is sort of a burgeoning trend, that beginning in the past 2 to 3 years, we're starting to see riots or near riots, shutdown of speakers, students feeling intimidated. So the results not only indicated 53% of students feeling intimidated, but the majority of those, not surprisingly, being conservatives, in excess of 60%.
Now, what was this, a universal survey of college campuses? What was included here?
Universal survey of college campuses, and they surveyed the freshmen through the seniors to determine whether or not there were students, and these were anonymous survey results, so people were safe answering correctly. The anonymous survey results indicated that there is this pandemic liberal bias, which, again, we knew but we didn't know how much it was silencing opposition.
But many students are facilitating this by being silent.
Yes, they are. In fact, it's very interesting you should bring that up. So one of the things that I really want to talk about is how students who are in these environments can respond to feeling intimidated. The first of those is really understanding that as Christians, we are called to stand out and not to fit in. For the students who are going into college, my recommendation is to find out where that college or university stands on free speech. 50 universities and colleges coast to coast have taken the approach that the University of Chicago did recently, wherein their dean said, "We are not a haven for millennials. We will not tolerate safe spaces. We are committed to academic, intellectual diversity." 50 other colleges and universities have followed suit. So my recommendation first is to say, look into that college's free speech program.
Yeah.
For the ones who are already there, who are feeling intimidated, my first recommendation is find others who believe as you do. Understand that those who are with you are more than those who are with them.
That's a really good point, because I often say courage breeds courage.
Yes.
People are intimidated and they just feel like everybody else is kind of thinking things different than they do. But when they speak truth, all of a sudden people will come behind them and say, you know what, I agree with you.
Absolutely.
And before you know it, you might not have the majority, but you'll certainly have a very influential and impactful minority.
Absolutely.
A remnant.
And be prepared for the consequences of being vocal.
Yeah.
Understanding that that's the nature of persecution.
You mentioned that. We had Isabella Chow from UCLA Berkeley just a few weeks ago on the program, where she stood up just very simply and said, you know, I can't go along with this provision. She's in the student government. She said, I can't go along with this provision denouncing the administration's biological view of gender. And, I mean, you would have thought that this young girl did some heinous crime.
Right. And the irony here is that she was a student at UC Berkeley. Now, Berkeley in 1964 was the cradle of the free speech movement. This was a movement by students that garnered worldwide attention because they were protesting the inability to make political speech on campus. And so here at UC Berkeley, that prides itself based on its own history of free speech, one senator stands up and says, I was elected on this platform. I will stand true to this platform. And the result is that she's heckled, she's harassed, and some of the harassments rose virtually to the level of violence.
It tells us a lot about the left and the totalitarian nature, because as you say, back in the 60s, it was about pushing back against the culture and demanding the freedom to speak, even if it was not well-received.
Right, right. And I think at that time it was considered revolutionary. And now we're finding ourselves really backtracking. And what was originally a First Amendment standard that opened the door to all sorts of speech and academic diversity is beginning to become more collectivist and more narrow. And we're finding the result is more hate speech bills that are pending in state legislatures, because these are states who find themselves with a nebulous definition.
And the way to push back is to stand up, speak out, and not be silent.
Absolutely. Could not recommend it more.
Sarah Perry, thanks so much for joining us, and appreciate all the work you do here at the Family Research Council.
Thank you.
All right, coming up next, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus, or at least a St. Nicholas. Former Secretary of the Department of Education and New York Times bestselling author Dr. Bill Bennett is here with his new book, The True St. Nicholas, Why He Matters to Christmas. That's next here on this edition of Washington Watch. Don't go away. More to come. Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Is Planned Parenthood a champion for women? In reality, Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading killer of unborn children. Despite this, they have been hailing themselves as the voice of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. From its racist eugenic roots to the targeting of vulnerable communities today, their scandals continue to pile up. Planned Parenthood's current motto is care, no matter what. A more fitting motto would be profit, no matter what. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood. Again, that's frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer to these questions should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, claiming they are ineffective and harmful. But are they? Studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. To find out more, visit frc.org/SOCE.
Are you ready to take a stand? Now you can with FRC's new Stand Firm mobile app, which allows you to stay engaged and informed on the most important issues facing our country. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on issues of faith, family, and freedom with just a tap of the screen. Listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins, and much more. Join Christians across America as we stand firm together. Visit frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us. This is a real treat for me now to kind of transition away from the policies and the politics to kind of get us into the season, Christmas season. And I can't think of anyone better to help us do that than my good friend Bill Bennett, the author of a new book, The True Saint Nicholas. Bill, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks, Tony. Merry Christmas coming up.
Well, thank you so much. Let's talk about it. Before I get into the book, let me just, for those that may not, and I'm sure there's not very many out there that do not know who Bill Bennett is, but Bill Bennett is a New York Times best-selling author, former Secretary of Education under President Ronald Reagan, and drug czar under President George H.W. Bush, and for years the host of The Bill Bennett Show and now The Bill Bennett Show podcast. His latest book, just in time to stuff stockings, is The True Saint Nicholas, Why He Matters to Christmas. Now, Bill, you know, many people think Saint Nicholas was, you know, just a mythical figure, but he was real.
Yeah, real guy, real guy. I thought before reading and finding out things that, you know, the term Saint Nick was just a nickname for Santa Claus. But no, there's a real guy, Nicholas, and in the Catholic Church, my church, he is a saint. And he was born in Patara, which is now Turkey. I think you've been over that way.
I was there recently.
Yep, and it was a Greek community at the time. His parents were suffering for lack of children. They prayed and prayed, and Nicholas's mother finally gave birth, and it was said that he stood straight up when he was born and praised the Lord. Lots of stories about Nicholas, and a lot of them are in this book, but it's a real guy. He becomes a bishop of the church, But the seminal story, Tony, and your listeners will pick this up quickly, is he inherited some money from his parents. And in the town where he lived, there was a man who was quite poor. He had three daughters. The daughters were very poor as well. They needed dowries. He needed a dowry in order to get married in those days. Nicholas knew this, and one night, late at night, he did this three times. He went in the cover of darkness and took some gold coins and threw them in a little bag into the room of the girls, and it is said that they fell into a stocking or a shoe. Okay? Do we see the beginning of a story here?
It's all coming together.
It's all coming together. And he did this three times. And the only thing I'd say about this beginning is the irony is he goes in the night because he wants to be anonymous, doesn't want anyone to know who did it, you know, the left hand and the right hand here. But ironically, this guy who wanted anonymity so much becomes eventually the most famous gift giver in the world.
Now, were the reindeer modern add-ons?
Oh, yeah. Very modern add-ons. The book tells the story from his birth in the 3rd century up through his attending the Nicene, the Council of Nicaea under the Emperor Constantine. He is so furious at the heresy that Arius introduces. He slaps him in the face. Constantine has to discipline Nicholas. Nicholas becomes famous because he is celebrated as someone who can deliver sailors from stormy seas, deliver people who are unjustly accused, and becomes a favorite of children. Winds his way all over Europe and even further than Europe. Sailors adopt him as a favorite saint, and because it's lucky to be adopted by sailors because then your fame will spread, you know, and so it did. He has to retreat a little bit in the 16th century, because of this gentleman named Martin Luther. And you and I could talk about that for hours, but we're not going to do that. But his statues and some of the windows get taken down, smashed because of, the notion of idols here. But he retreats into the hearts of people and children and becomes really a favorite of children, St. Nicholas. People still celebrate around the world on December 6th, what we call his feast day. Long story, I'll make it very short. Comes to America with the Dutch, who call him, shortening St. Nicholas, to Sinterklaas. Are we getting there? And then he is discovered by Washington Irving, who wrote Legend of Sleepy Hollow, Rip Van Winkle, and Emmett Moore, who does the poem The Night Before Christmas. He then, I guess, the final discovery, giving us the modern era, he becomes discovered by Coca-Cola and assumes this jolly, large guy in the red suit and the big beard. But there's a real St. Nicholas back there, and he needs to be remembered.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Dr. Bill Bennett, my guest, talking about a book that just is hitting stores, The True St. Nicholas, Why He Matters to Christmas.
I said Emmett Moore. I need to correct it. Emmett Moore, Night Before Christmas, of course. Sorry. Go ahead.
Not a problem. I wouldn't have caught that. Let me just say that.
Yeah.
Short read, 115 pages. Really timely, but I got to step back because, you know, I read almost every one of your books that you write because I feel like I get an education when I read them.
The last one,
Tried by Fire, the pages are dog-eared because it was a fascinating history of the first 1,000 years of the Christian faith. But this, let me just ask you, the motivation, why write this now?
I discovered it actually in doing Tried by Fire, the Book of the Saints and the first 1,000 years of the church. And of course, Nicholas was part of that suffering during the reign of Diocletian. He was thrown in prison and beaten and tortured and told that they'd relent if he'd give up his faith, and he would not give up his faith. He came out, looked different, changed physically, but not morally, not spiritually. So that's, you know, when I kind of rediscovered him. But then I thought, this is a very good link, this guy in this story, Tony, between the real meaning of Christmas, which is the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the spiritual and moral center of Christmas, and the commercial part of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
This is a link, this figure, because he is this gift giver, but he's a gift giver in a certain way. He's the gift giver who gives without any expectation of anything in return, which reminds us of our Savior, how he gave without the expectation of anything in return, except that we would believe in him.
Let me ask you about that, because we're at Christmas time. People are giving gifts. I mean, it's a very commercial time. In fact, you look at where we are in America, especially right now. I mean, economy booming, lowest unemployment we've seen in 50 years. I mean, America really is people who live in America are living in some of the greatest prosperity ever known to man. But at the same time, just this week, a report out that suicide at a 50-year peak pushes down U.S. life expectancy. That was an AP story this week. And as the former drug czar, one of the contributing factors to this is drug addiction. But I have to – I mean, when we talk about Christmas, we talk about the commercialization of Christmas and how we become a very material society – something's missing. If we have everything that man ever thought about having, but yet we don't have the desire to live, something's missing.
Yeah, the core, the center is missing. Solzhenitsyn, of course, warned about this. He talked about the material wealth of the West, but worried about the spiritual lassitude, spiritual poverty. I was thinking about this too. You and I try to step away from our policies and our worries about American issues and how to deal with them into a happier time and a happier book, but we always go back to because we have to. But if you think about this period, it's a time when families gather, and what you just talked about is an issue, the drug and opioid crisis, suicide, that touches many, many families. There are a few families that remain untouched by this problem. I was the first drug czar. We went after it well and strongly during the presidency of George Herbert Walker Bush. We pushed back, got the rates down. We need to make a similar push now. It, to me, is fantastic and crazy. At the same time, we're seeing these numbers, Tony, that you describe, suicide as a result of drug abuse and drug use, that we are then legalizing marijuana. It's just insane. C.S. Lewis, you may know better than I, is it the abolition of man?
Right.
He says, when the boat is half gunnel under, don't get out the fire hoses. We're drowning and we're getting out the fire hoses. Why would we want to take this gateway drug, and it is a gateway drug, marijuana, and make it more generally available and give our blessing to it legally when we're suffering from this horrible problem? And you go to the treatment centers. I had a great interview the other day with my podcast with Larry Kudlow, who said he had a terrible cocaine problem. He will tell you he still regards himself as an addict. He goes to drug treatment meetings, and he said all the young kids are there. They all came into it through marijuana.
That just is nonsensical that we would pursue legalization. In fact, several states taking that approach in the last election, legalizing marijuana, which is, as a former law enforcement officer, I saw that in my years of as it being a gateway drug. Yet we have this opioid crisis, as you pointed out. I don't know. So many families have been touched by this, but it is epidemic, or I would even say pandemic, the number of people we see dying from overdoses, taking their own lives. But there's I want to bring it back to the focus of your book, because I think when you look at Christmas and you look at the trappings and the wrappings, you miss the greater meaning, which is what you're doing in this book, bringing it back to that there really was a Saint Nicholas, and it was more about – it was, as you described, giving without expectation of return, reflective of what Jesus Christ did, which is, again, something we've pushed out of the public square, faith, expression of faith, and – something else has rushed in to fill that void, and I think that's why we're at this crisis point where people are taking their own lives at record rates.
Yeah, it's not that the giving of these things is bad. It's that it's replaced something else. It's become, in many places, the whole story. Augustine talks about the ordo amorum, the order of the loves, and suggests that it's God, then others, then things, then self. Those last two are down toward the bottom. So you can't replace the spiritual with an excess of the material. And this is the real message of Christmas and the message of St. Nicholas. This was, in the first instance, a good and holy man who believed that his gift giving and the manner in which he gave his gifts was itself a message about the very first Christmas.
So, Dr. Bennett, how do we work our way out of this quagmire, this deficit that we're in? How do we work our way back out?
Practice, prayer, a good example, bearing witness. I think that's how we do it. Regeneration comes from within. This is something you can speak about more effectively than I, but you know how it changes. But recognizing the spiritual basis of most of our issues, most of our problems, a very good concrete level, Tony, the drug treatment programs that work the best are the ones that address people as if they had souls.
Right.
And some of the most effective programs, as you know, are faith-based programs.
Yeah, which I'm encouraged to see this administration doing more to embrace, understanding that we are a body, mind, and soul, that we are more than material. We're more than atoms. We are people with souls that have purpose and meaning to our lives when we're connected with the Creator.
Exactly right.
How can folks get a copy of The True St. Nicholas?
You can ask your parents for one, your grandparents, or your spouse. Getting back to the spirit of Christmas, Amazon, all the bookstores, they should have it, though sometimes I'm boycotted, you know, because of my conservative credentials. It's a long time before a lot of children's bookstores stock the Book of Virtues, you know.
Which is an excellent book, another excellent book, which makes a great Christmas present, by the way.
Right. Under the tree. This one will fit in the stocking.
I know. I noticed that. I was going to mention that. This is stocking size. Is that intentional?
Yeah, that's a story about stocking stuffing, and it stuffs in your stocking.
But I was looking I was looking for the gold coins in the back. I didn't see any.
No. You may get them in the middle of the night.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you who did it.
All right.
Okay.
Dr. Bill Bennett, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for stopping in and having a conversation with us.
Well, we love what you do, Tony. You know that. We're always proud to be with you every year. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, folks, Dr. Bill Bennett, author of the latest book, The True St. Nicholas, Why He Matters to Christmas. Let me just say this. Anytime Dr. Bennett puts pen to paper, it's worth reading. I have probably most, if not all, of the books that he's written, and it really is. Like I said, you get an education. When you read it, it's he tells stories, but it's educational, and he's an educator, and it's good. I encourage you to get a copy. It would make a great gift, and it is stocking size. All right, folks, check out the website, TonyPerkins.com, and find out more about how you can engage. Let me encourage you before we go here. The app. I mentioned this the other day. We're having some issues with the app. It's all working now, so make sure you have the Stand Firm app on your smartphone, and share that with friends. They can listen to this program via the app. It has other benefits added to it as well. So that's you can go to the App Store. Stand Firm is the app, or go to TonyPerkins.com and download it. And again, do pick up a copy of The True St. Nicholas, Why He Matters to Christmas by our good friend Dr. Bill Bennett. All right, folks, again, thanks so much for being with us, and have a great weekend until we meet again. Let me leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.